Good morning. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, and it's a joy to be able to be here this morning to worship our God. The beautiful singing that we lifted up to God today was very encouraging, and it's just so wonderful to be here and to be able to welcome you to our services. And if you're visiting with us today, and I know there are several who are our guests today, we are truly, truly honored that you're here and that you come our way. Very good to see David and Galina Binkley back with us today. They've been in Ukraine for quite a while, and they're now back with us, and I'm looking forward to hearing about their work. I hope we'll maybe have an opportunity maybe to hear him speak sometime and tell us about the good work that they recently have been involved in, but it's just encouraging to see them back with us today, and we're glad that they came back safe and sound. Also, we're very happy to announce that JT and Betty DeFee were married 63 years on January the 3rd. So they're a couple of weeks into their 64th year, but we want to congratulate them, and it's always, to me, encouraging to be able to announce and give examples of those who've remained true to their marriage vows, such as the DeFees. Also, you heard Bill Pemberton mention fortifying the family. It's just right around the corner. And we have an outstanding speaker coming in. He's no stranger to us, Brother Donnie Hilliard. I've seen the topics that he's going to discuss, very relevant to what families need today. It will be encouraging not only to our youth, but to our older folks as well. And Fortifying the Family is just around the corner, February the 7th. And there'll be advertisements, I hope, by Wednesday night for you to be able to take with you and to pass out. And I hope we're just going to have a great, great day. And certainly we need to do everything we can to make our families stronger. Hope you'll come back tonight at 5 o'clock. You'll have the privilege tonight to hear Brian present our lesson at that particular time. Ancient mariners used an instrument called the sextant to help them navigate the seas. Now, if you've watched television, maybe something like the Discovery Channel, perhaps you've observed certain shows where individuals in days gone by sailed the ocean. And you might see one of these instruments in the hand of the captain. It looked like two small periscopes held together by something like a protractor. And you have a picture on the screen. At least I hope you're seeing what I'm seeing. And what they would do is they would use this sextant twice a day. For example, late in the evening, they would take the horizontal telescope of that sextant and they would level it out on the far distant horizon of the sea. And then at the appropriate time, when a certain star began to make its presence known, they would line up that vertical telescope with that particular star. And at that precise moment, when they could line up the horizon with that particular star, they would take a reading and they would log it in. Then very early the next morning, they would do just the opposite. They would look through that vertical telescope and they would find the star that they used the night before, but with it being dark, they could not yet see the horizon. And so they waited. And when day began to break, when they first could see the horizon on the sea, they would then line up that horizontal telescope, and once again, they would take a reading, and they would log it in. They would then compare the two, and in doing so, they would begin to chart their course across the seas. Now, at those two precise moments during the day, early in the morning and late in the evening, by using that one instrument, the sextant, that ancient mariner was able to bring the heavens and the earth together. Now, that is exactly what Bible study is all about. Bringing heaven, God's will, and God's way together with the earth, man and his ways. That's what we find in verses like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where the Bible says, "Give diligence, study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now look at this verse again. Study to show yourself approved. That's man and his ways. Approved unto God, there's heaven. And so whenever we study the Bible, we bring through that process heaven, God and his will, together with the earth, man in his ways. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And it's in this one verse that we have set before us that I think tells us what Bible study should entail. Now, there are two basic elements involved in Bible study. Now, while you're finding this verse or looking at this verse, I want to remind you that not everybody uses the Bible correctly. There are some, for example, who substitute their own wishes. They substitute their own ways for what the Bible says, teaching as for doctrine the commandments of men, Matthew 15, verse 9. There are other people that would take the hard sayings of the Bible and twist them, or as the Bible says, they wrest them to their own destruction, 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. There are others who just ignore what the Bible says and they just completely drift away from the things which were heard, Hebrews 2 and verse 1. But when you and I set ourselves on the quest for properly using and studying the Bible, there are two elements involved in that process. There is interpretation and there is application. Look at the passage again. Study to show yourself approved unto God. That's application. A workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's interpretation. And so, as we contemplate today some how-to suggestions for Bible study, I want us to briefly consider these two elements in reverse order as they occur in this passage: interpretation and then application. First of all, today, in order to properly use the Bible in our study, there must be something called interpretation. Now, again, our verse says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the word translated there means in the right way. It means to cut. It means to cut sharply. It's a word that throws out the idea of hacking at something until it divides. And we are to swiftly, we are to sharply cut a straight line. Some translations say handling aright, cutting straight the word of truth. Proper interpretation is involved in Bible study. I'm reminded of a little boy one time who was a ring bearer at a particular wedding, and it came his time to walk down the aisle, and he had the pillow in his hand, and he walked a few steps, and he held the pillow in one hand, and he turned to the audience on this side, and he growled, "Rrr." And then he would take a few more steps, and he would turn to the other side of the audience and growl, "Rrr." And the boy did that all the way down the aisle. Well, after the wedding ceremony, somebody came up to him and asked him what all that was about, and the boy said, "I was just doing what I was supposed to do. I was the ring bearer. I was growling like a bear." You see, something was missing in the interpretation. And you see, if I'm not really careful, when I open up the Bible and I don't read it and carefully interpret it, something is missing. And I might not even understand what God actually says. And so interpretation is a very important element in the process of Bible study. Now, that being the case, let me give you three simple steps to take in properly interpreting the Bible. Step number one is go to the book. Now, you've heard it said before that he's a book, chapter, and verse preacher. He's a book, chapter, and verse teacher. Many times that statement is used as a statement of ridicule, sadly. It's used as a statement of insult. But first of all, start with the book. In studying the Bible, select a particular book of the New Testament, for example. I might suggest that we start with one of the smaller books in size. Let's just say the book of James. I know our teenagers on Sunday morning are studying the book of James with Rob Baker. Rob is just one of many of our great teachers here at Del Rada. And once I've selected a book of the Bible to really dive into and study, the very first thing I need to do is to just set the Bible aside. Say what? Yeah, just set the Bible aside. I've selected the book that I'm going to study. Now, what I need to do is to go to a commentary. Now, a commentary is a book that has been written about the book of the Bible that you're going to study. And I would highly suggest and give a shameless plug to the Gospel Advocate commentaries or the Truth for Today commentaries, which are now available. These are written by our brethren. Very simple to follow. But go to a commentary. Turn to the introductory material about the book of the Bible that you're going to study and ask three questions. Number one, who wrote this book of the Bible? Ask yourself, number two, to whom was this book of the Bible written? And then number three, why was this book of the Bible written? And by using this introductory material, try and answer the best you can those three questions. Now, once I have asked and answered those questions as best that I can, now I'm ready to pick my Bible back up. And now what I want to do with this information in mind is just simply read the book that I've selected. Just read it casually from start to finish. And if I don't have time to read it all in one setting, just set it down and pick it back up again and just continually read it casually all the way through. Having read it once, go back and read it again. this time a little more slowly. And as we read this book of the Bible through a second time, try and capture the thoughts that are being set forth all through the book, keeping in mind who wrote it, to whom it was written, and why it was written. The first step in interpretation is start with the book. Isaiah 34 and verse 16 says, "Seek ye out the word of Jehovah and read." Revelation 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth that which is written." Just take some time and read the book, having a capsule idea of its background. But step number two in the process of interpretation, having some idea of the book's background, having read through it casually and then read through it again more slowly, trying to put my finger on the pulse of its thoughts. Now I'm ready to look at this book chapter by chapter. Now, as I look at this book chapter by chapter, there are two things that I need to do. First of all, I need to look at the paragraphs. Buy a good Bible in paragraph form. Now, if you have a King James Version, which usually does not have paragraphs, just look at those paragraph marks in the Bible. But find the paragraphs. This will help you to indicate context, and it will prevent you from taking a verse out of the Bible and just making it say what you want it to say. Secondly, though, I need to look at the pivot terms. Pivot terms like therefore, or hence, or wherefore, or because, for. And a lot of times a paragraph will begin with one of those words. And when it does, it tells me that the paragraph that I'm about to read joins together in thought with the paragraph or context that I've just read, and I need to look at them together. And that helps me to capture the contextual flow of what God is actually saying in this segment of the Bible. So first of all, pick out a book. Read it once, then read it again, then go to the chapters and then look at the context by observing paragraphs and tie those context or paragraphs together with pivot terms. But step number three, though, in the process of interpretation, book, chapter, verse. I have an idea what this book of the Bible is about. Who wrote it? Whom it was written to? Why it was written? I've read it casually, and then I've read it even more slowly, trying to put my finger on the pulse of its thoughts. And I've dived into this particular chapter, and I've seen how it's divided by paragraphs or context, and I've noticed how they're joined together by pivot terms. Now, I'm ready to look at one verse at a time in that chapter. Now, when I'm studying the Bible verse by verse, there are two things that I need to remember. What does this teach me to believe? And number two, how does this teach me to behave? You know, that's why the Bible is here. And so I'm reading this verse of the Bible. I know what the surrounding context is about. And I'm looking at this verse and I'm asking myself, what does this verse teach me to believe as a Christian? How am I to behave as a Christian according to this verse? And by approaching the Bible, book, chapter, and verse in this process, I'm more apt to engage in proper interpretation. In 546 BC, Croesus, the king of Lydia, asked the oracle of Delphi whether or not he should go to war. And the oracle replied, "If you go to war, you'll destroy a great nation." And oh, the king was happy, and he went to war, and he destroyed a great nation, his own nation. You see, he did not properly interpret what the oracle of Delphi told him, and the consequences were devastating. And so it's very important to properly and to accurately interpret the Bible. But step number two, quickly, a second element in Bible study, involves not only interpretation, but application. Now again, our verse of interest says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." You see, the Bible's not here to provide for me an incessant list of debate propositions. The Bible is not here to provide for me a subject of discussion come Monday morning at coffee break. The Bible is here to provide a roadmap from this life to the life to come, so that one day I can live eternally with God in heaven. The Bible is a book that tells me how to live. And so how do I apply what the Bible says? Show yourself approved. Now the word translated "show" here in this passage means to place alongside. And the idea of this verse is this: you stand before God, and alongside your life, you place as proper interpretation of the Bible, and you say to God, "Here I am," and here's what you say, they go together. And you show yourself approved unto God by properly interpreting the Bible and applying the same. Now, as far as the process of application goes, I'm going to make three simple suggestions. When I find myself trying to apply the Bible to my life, there are three things that I need to do. First of all, when I'm in a verse or paragraph, I need to ask, what does this verse say about Christ? You know, the Bible always leads me to Christ, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And so we need to ask, when I'm reading this verse, I'm reading this context, what does this say about Christ? Remembering the challenge of Philippians 2 and verse 5 to have the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 tells us that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. I am to be like Jesus. What does this say about Jesus? And I'm supposed to be like that too. But I should also ask the question, what does this say about Christian living? The Bible says the love of Christ constrains us to the point where, as he died for all, we should no longer live unto ourselves, but for him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15. And so we are to live not only like Christ, we are to live for Christ. And so I'm reading this verse, I'm reading this context, and I ask myself, what does this say about Jesus? And if I cannot find anything in particular in reference to Jesus himself, what does this say about Christian living? And that helps me to bring this verse, this context, into my life. Step number two, though, in the process of application is go to the Old Testament. Now, if you're studying the New Testament and you find principles that are to be carried out in your life, go to the Old Testament and find examples that will motivate you to do what the New Testament teaches. That's why the Old Testament is here, Romans 15, verse 4. I go to the Old Testament and I'm amazed as I see God interacting with man, and I'm motivated there to do what I'm told in the New Testament. For example, if I'm to be patient, and I know I need to be more patient, I go to the Old Testament and I'm amazed to observe there the patience of Job. And I'm motivated by that Old Testament example to be more patient myself. What does this say about Christ? What does this say about Christian living? Now, can I find something in the Old Testament that motivates me to make sure this is a part of my life? Step number three, though, is make this live in your day-to-day existence. Ask yourself, because of this verse, because of this context, what changes in attitude should I make? Because of this verse or context, what goals should I set in my life? How should I alter my lifestyle? Make this live in your life. Now, I'm afraid some people study the Bible like they pick sweets out of a candy box. They select what they like, and they leave alone what they don't like, and they overeat on what they like. That's what I do. Now, some people want preaching that way. They want Bible classes to be that way. They want things that really make them feel good and tickle the ears. And we overeat on what we like. We want what we like, and we tend to just leave alone what we don't like. But you see, regardless of what I read in the Bible, whether I like it or not, I've got to make sure that it becomes a part of my life. And I will be able to say, I'm not what I ought to be. But by the grace of God, I'm not what I used to be or what I hope to be. Now, you say this morning, that's a lot of material that you've given us. How can I get a handle on it? I want to give you a little handle that will help you to remember what we've talked about today and get it all in your mind. I'm going to give you this handle based upon internet sites, www.whatever.com. Here it is. You may want to write it down, but I think you'll be able to remember it. Even I think I can remember it. Here it is, www.bookchapterverse.com. Now watch it. www. Who wrote this book? To whom was it written? Why was it written? Then get into the book, having researched it and read it. Then get into the chapters, the paragraphs, noticing the pivot terms. Then get into the verses. What should I believe? How should I behave? www.bookchapterandverse.com. And once I've engaged in the interpretation process, now apply.com. The C stands for Christ or Christian living. The O stands for the Old Testament. The M stands for me. How can I make this live in my life? www.bookchapterverse.com can help me, I believe, in the process of studying the greatest book that has ever been penned. It's a book that teaches me to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to change my life in His behalf, and then to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. While together we stand and sing.